The sound of drums. The sound of bass. The sound of vocals.
Oh, mama, down by the river.
The sound of guitar. Welcome to The Sound Of with Steve Black and Ann Carlini.
This shall be the final podcast of year 2017. So, Ann, it's a good time to kind of look backwards at the things that happened in the last 12 months.
And once again, the year has flown by in the wink of an eye. They say in the end, it's the wink of an eye. Jackson Brown, the Pretender.
Ah, nice.
But it seems like, you know, the first thing we want to tackle is the in memoriam. And I think that in some ways we've grown accustomed to losing people. I think that 2016 was such a huge shocker to lose so many rock stars in a short period of time, in just a couple of months, that now it's like, oh, yeah, of course, that person's passed away, that person's in the hospital, that person is, you know, suffering from some illness. So as we go through this list, you know, I'm sure that we're going to, a couple of them, we're going to go, when did that happen? Or
yeah,
I don't yet.
Yeah,
because it was such a shock when it did start to happen.
I put together a list of 23 of what I call notables. Obviously, there are more musicians than that passed away, but I tried to stay primarily in the rock realm. And the age range was everywhere from 38 was the youngest to 90.
Wow.
So,
38.
Yeah. So we'll start with, we'll just go chronologically all the way back in January 22nd of 2017. It was Pete Watts, 69-year-old guitarist, bassist for Mott the Hoople.
Which is Ian Hunter's band.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where Ian Hunter sprung from.
Yeah. Their big hit was All the Young Dudes. David Bowie wrote it for him.
Yeah, wrote.
Yeah, because Ian Hunter was about to call it quits, and Bowie wrote that song and launched.
Yeah, there's a couple of interesting stories built around that, and you know, all the sort of the bands and the growth that came from it. So it's an interesting point in time. Mm-hmm. It was just 2 days later that Butch Trux passed away. He was the drummer for the Allman Brothers.
Yeah, not too many of the Allman Brothers left nowadays.
Yeah, not too many at all.
No, Dickie Betts is still around though.
Yeah, they're kind of semi-retired right now though, right? Didn't they? They finished up their annual run of shows in New York, and I think they're at the very least on hiatus, right?
Well, yeah, as far as I know, it's hard to keep track with that band,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, Greg Allman would do his solo shows, then he would want to tour with the Allmans, and he said, yeah, they had to cancel because he was having, you know, his, it was a kidney or liver problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he said, we'll be back, and then unfortunately, you know, and he passed away as well this year.
John Wetton was 67 when he passed away. I don't know that people would just necessarily know his name, but I think people would remember his voice. He was, well, first of all, he was in King Crimson ages and ages ago, but he was the voice of Asia, which had some really huge hits in the early 80s.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful deep voice.
Yeah, beautiful singer, actually. Steve Lang, who was the bass player for April Wine. Remember April Wine?
Jeez, yeah. I'm a roller, high roller baby.
Yeah.
And then, what's the other one?
Actually, their biggest hit, believe it or not, was in the 80s, not the 70s, and it was Just Between You and Me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It was one of those power ballads.
Yep.
And Canadian then, band, right?
Yep.
April Wine?
And I Like to Rock
did
pretty well
around
here.
I Like to Rock, that was the one I was trying to think of. I knew Rock was in the title.
And there was Sign of the Gypsy Queen, which was, again, that was kind of somewhat regional hit, you know, much bigger in Canada than it was anywhere else. But they were a fun band. And that was only the third concert I'd ever seen was April Wine. So really, really early on for me, being able to see that band was pretty cool. We lost Chuck Berry at the age of 90 in March of this year.
Yeah, the godfather of rock and roll.
Chuck, for me, special for a number of reasons, but my dad is a musician, you know, I mean, that he didn't work as one. He mostly worked at General Motors, but, you know, back when he was in the Navy and stuff, he was always in bands, and he played guitar, and he played drums, and, you know, he's a really good singer. But we never connected on music. There's about three bands total you can circle that we both like. Right? I mean, he was just into country, and I just couldn't stand country. Mm-hmm. But our center of our universe was Chuck Berry. And we could put Chuck Berry on any time, and suddenly me and Dad were on the same page, you know?
One of my favorite quotes about Chuck Berry comes from John Lennon. And John Lennon said, if you had to rename rock and roll, you could just call it Chuck Berry.
Yep.
I remember one time he did a show for the radio station we work for, WRIF, and this is a couple of decades, if not more, ago. And he demanded payment in cash in a briefcase, and he would not go on stage and perform one bit of that duck walk until he got paid, which he did, and he performed.
People from that era learned a few lessons about getting paid up front.
Yes, yes they did. Yes.
We also lost Sib. I want to say the last name is Hashian. I think that's how you pronounce. I merged two words together there. How about that? He was the drummer for Boston that played on the first two albums.
And what makes Sib's death so notable is the fact that he died in the middle of a set on a rock cruise.
Wow, that's the second rock artist that's died on one of these cruises.
Yes, and also wow. Sib has a connection to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his daughter was married to him. Yeah, and they have a couple of kids together.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Was The Rock on the cruise?
I don't think so. I think he was out busy making movies and money.
And money.
Yeah, lots of money.
On April 5th, this was one of the two that really broke my heart. Paul O'Neill from Trans-Siberian Orchestra, who had worked with so many bands and so many people, died of what was eventually determined to be an accidental overdose. He had a couple of medical issues and apparently mixed the wrong medication, and that was it. So Paul passed away at the age of 61.
I know he was a good friend of yours, Steve.
Such an incredible human being. I mean, just, you know, I could talk for an hour and not truly do credit to him, so I won't try to take it much beyond just super happy of the times we spent together, and that the last time we spent together was really fun. We were eating muffin tops. You know, he'd have these little muffins and you'd bite the top off and then he'd throw them across the room into the trash can. And I'm like, but what's wrong with the rest of the muffin? No, you have to eat the tops. You know, just fun. A lot of fun memories with Paul.
And so happy that Trans-Siberian Orchestra is continuing on.
Yes.
That's his legacy.
Yeah, absolutely. Molly Hatchet lost a couple of members. In April, it was Banner Thomas, who was their bassist, who passed away. And then shortly after that, in fact, the next day, Jay Giles passed away at the age of 71. I didn't realize Jay was 71.
I didn't think he was that old either.
Yeah.
You know, and then I had to think back. It's like, oh, yeah, for sure. It's like the band started in the late 60s,
yep.
And they had their heyday in the 70s. That band was really interesting. First of all, Molly Hatchet, one of the great Southern guitar armies.
Oh,
one
sure.
of those bands
yeah.
that the endings went on forever and ever because they were passing it off between four or five lead guitarists. Flirting with Disaster is still an awesome tune.
Yeah.
And they do a great version of Allman Brothers' Dreams. Dreams I'm never going to see.
Oh, Dreams I'll Never See, yeah.
Yeah, I actually like their version better. But a lot of people, going back to Jay Giles, a lot of people thought that Peter Wolf was Jay Giles.
I know. I thought that was kind of funny that the band was named after. Because when you think of Jay Giles, you think of Peter Wolf first. Then you think of the harmonica player, which is Magic Dick.
Yeah.
Then you think of keyboards.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to go down the list of ways till you get to the guitar player.
Yeah. It's
that
like,
was
oh.
not a guitar-driven band.
No, it wasn't. Not at all.
You know? Very funny. Obviously, he started the band, so.
Yes.
It was the 17th of May when we were all in shock when Chris Cornell committed suicide here in Detroit at the age of 52.
It was so sad and so shocking because so many people were at that show and were still experiencing the high that you get after a rock show of that magnitude, and then to wake up the next morning to find out that he had passed, and then the controversy that followed, you know, the pain of his widow
yep.
trying to protect their children. And it's really horrible because these people are famous. And so TMZ has their hands on everything and releases every little bit of information they get. So Vicky, his widow, who has small children, maybe wanted to protect her kids.
Yeah.
And maybe talk to them a little bit about their dad and what happened. But, you know, I don't know how you can keep kids off the internet nowadays. They'll know every horrible detail.
And you couldn't, even if you could keep your kids off, you can't keep their friends off. So their friends are going to tell them what yeah. I read, what I heard. So you can only protect to some degree. Yeah. That one was really sad. You know, I mean, suicide's horrifying anyway. That it happened in our hometown is horrifying. That was Sabrina, my first wife's absolute favorite human being, like, ever. So that was tough. I just lost one of my favorite human beings ever, and Paul O'Neill, and now her favorite human being. I mean, it was just, it was so close to home on so many fronts. You know, I'd never, ever, ever struggled with depression to the point of where I was planning anything, but to have struggled through depression and, you know, and then to have that play a role in his death, that whole thing was just incredibly hard to digest. And still is.
Yeah.
And still is. It was 10 days later that Greg Allman passed away at the age of 69. That one, not really unexpected, although I think it came faster than people thought. I mean, we had known he'd been battling illness on and off. Wasn't expecting to just, you know, that morning for it to happen. But I don't think that surprised too many people.
And he was in the studio recording, and on a lot of levels, the people close to him said he knew. And so his last album was really his goodbye. But what an incredible voice. When you hear the Allman Brothers, it's of course, it's just the fantastic musicians, you know, the songs, but then to top it off with Greg Allman, who can evoke so much emotion into those lyrics. You know, they'll just never be another Greg Allman. It's awesome. Awesome story, too. If you get a chance to read his autobiography, I highly suggest it. Very, very entertaining. Good insight into the band and his relationship with his brother, Dwayne. And they're together. They're together again.
Together again.
Yeah.
On July 14th, Trans-Siberian Orchestra lost their second member. And for the second time, I was on the air when the news broke. I cried like a baby on the air when Paul O'Neill passed away, because it was, by the time I'd confirmed it with management and knew that it was okay to go, it was already like 10:30 at night, and I was already a wreck for having been texting with people for the last 2 hours. With David Z, there had been an accident. Their tour bus had pulled off on the side of the road for a mechanical issue, and then a semi driver either fell asleep or wasn't paying attention or texting or whatever, but a semi hit their tour bus at full speed.
Oh.
And David was in the back. And So when it caught fire, we don't know. I don't know if he died from the impact or died from the fire, but it was the Adrenaline Mob tour bus, which was one of the other bands David was in other than Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Mm. So to be 38 years old and to be lost in such a bizarre way, that was yet another one that was really hard for me to take, you know, because I knew Dave,
mm-hmm.
you know. I try to symbolize, you know, you and I do so many meet and greets that it's like, do you know that person or did you just do a meet and greet? But like, I've had meals with Dave. Mm-hmm. To me, that's sort of the game changer. When you've sat down and you've eaten with somebody once or twice,
That
means you've spent a minimum of 15, 20 minutes just, you know, talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I knew him, and that one obviously made me sad. The next one made many, many, many more people sad. Chester Bennington, who also committed suicide at the age of 41 on, if I remember correctly, Chris Cornell's birthday.
Yeah, I mean, he had just performed at the funeral.
Yep.
Really a hard one to take, because it appears to be a very solid decision on Chester's part. That this is what I'm going to do right now. There didn't seem to be drugs, alcohol involved. It was, this is this is it. This is how I want to go out, which is really tough to take. I can't even imagine what the family
and
was going
killed
through.
Himself the same way as Chris, too.
Yeah.
I mean, just really, really a strange one.
Yeah,
for
my heart goes out to his kids.
By the way, this is a kind of a cute little story on the side. I only met Chester once, and it was, you know, backstage at a Linkin Park concert, obviously. And I had been there to interview, like, the opening band, and I didn't really know him, but we ended up sitting at the same table. Mm-hmm. And he was eating, and I think, I don't know if I was having a dessert or just a drink or whatever, but again, here we are sitting at this, like, picnic table-ish type setting backstage, and we just started talking about food. So we had about a 15 to 20 minute conversation on food, and we exchanged recipes.
That's awesome.
We didn't talk music once. Not once. And then, you know, so that's like the only personal memory I have of him was, you know, not a single word passed, but, you know, didn't ask about chord structures or where song inspiration came from. Instead, we talked about ways to grill chicken.
Yeah.
Glenn Campbell passed away at the age of 81 earlier this year.
Again, an awesome documentary. I was not sure I wanted to watch it because I wasn't sure of the family's intent. But then after it was done, I fully understand that the family not only wanted to honor Glenn Campbell's legacy, but also wanted to get the word out about Alzheimer's. And Glenn Campbell's documentary also involved, it also includes a lot of rock stars that you would not expect, including Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. All these people, I couldn't piece it together. It's like, I don't understand. Like, why are all these people doing little snippets? Then I got it. Ah, they all have been affected by Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, he had an incredible life, but even in his death is, I think, giving back, because it's something that definitely we have to address.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
The second member of Molly Hatchet that passed away was Dave Hulbeck at the age of 66. That happened on September 2nd. And the very next day, it was Walter Becker who passed away at the age of 67 from Steely Dan.
And we did a whole show on Steely Dan.
We did.
Yeah. And now the families are in litigation with Donald Fagen, because when the two of them, Walter Becker and Donald Fagen, formed Steely Dan, they drew up a contract that said if either of them passed, everything to do with the band would immediately pass on to the other one.
Right.
Everything, the finances, every type of legality involved with Steely Dan. And now Walter Becker's family, of course, is disputing that, and they're about to go to court because they know.
They want
the millions.
They want their taste.
Yes, of millions of dollars that they're going to get. Well, or not get.
Right, right. We also did a full show about Tom Petty, who passed away on October 2nd. And I later found out, and I don't remember if I shared this with you or not, but I later found out that he... the week he died, I want to say it was just 3 or 4 days before he died, he told his wife that he was thinking of retiring, not just from touring, but from almost everything, because he didn't think he had much longer to live.
Aww.
And that he really wanted to spend time with family. And then literally days later, he was gone. Mm. And he wasn't sick. Well, apparently he was sick to some degree. There was something wrong. Mm-hmm. But it's not like, you know, somebody was battling brain cancer and they thought he was just tired and thought, you know, I don't have much longer.
Mm.
And wow. Okay.
Wow. What a prophetic statement.
Yep. Mm. Gord Downie passed away and did an entire tour to say goodbye to all of his fans, as he was battling brain cancer and knew for quite a while that he was going to pass. Of course, the lead man for the Tragically Hip.
And I think all of Canada went into mourning on that day.
Yes.
The entire country shut down.
And 9 people in the U.S.
That band was, it's practically the Beatles in Canada. That's how huge, it's hard to understand how big the Tragically Hip are in Canada.
Right.
But when I say that the country shut down, I'm kind of joking.
Right.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it was It was crazy to see. I mean, the reaction was just so overwhelming from our neighbors to the north.
Although not a super direct link to AC/DC, or I shouldn't say a member of AC/DC, but a definite link to AC/DC. George Young passed away at the age of 70. He's the older brother of both Malcolm and Angus. And George was in a band called the Easy Beats, which had a pretty big hit called Friday on My Mind. Remember that song?
I do remember that.
And he also produced several of the early AC/DC songs. So he passed away at age 70.
And he's the one who got Angus and Malcolm into music.
Well, yeah. I mean, they wanted to grow up like their older brother.
They did.
And yeah. I think he might have even given the first guitar to Angus, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm not positive exactly who gave who.
Like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
But who gave who? Mr. Fats Domino passed away at the age of 89.
Mm.
Another legend and another that goes into that category of sort of helping to shape rock and roll.
Yeah, pioneer.
Mm-hmm. Chuck Mosley, who was the singer of Faith No More, the original singer of Faith No More, passed away at age 57. Then the last really huge one was Malcolm Young, who I thought would have been a little older than 64. Seemed to me like maybe he would have been a little older, but no, he passed away at the age of 64.
When you hear that people are suffering from dementia, which is a symptom of something larger, you always think, wow, this person's got to be in their 70s and their 80s, because that's right. When that stuff happens. But that is not true. It can happen to anyone at any age. And 64 does seem awfully young, because you think, how long now, Steve, have we heard that he has been suffering with this?
Yeah.
So the onslaught probably happened when he was in his late 50s.
Right.
Because, you know, Glenn Campbell, even in Alzheimer's, he was able to get on stage and perform shows because the doctors say the only explanation is muscle memory, because he had played those songs so many times.
Right.
And even his very last show in Nashville, you know, he got confused. His kids were on stage with him, and I think he did like his Rhinestone Cowboy twice, you know, and argued with them that no, they hadn't had done it, but the audience didn't care.
Right.
Let's hear it twice. It's great. So I think that the same goes for Malcolm Young, is that probably he was able to continue on and the family was just protecting him.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, he could get on stage and play those songs like he had done a million times before.
And the last sort of notable one of December, knock on wood, as December isn't quite over with yet. Pat, is it Denizio? I'm not a big fan of the Smithereens myself, so I'm not even sure how to say his name, but Pat passed away at age 74. Were you a Smithereen?
Yeah, I liked the Smithereens. I liked them back in the 80s. I liked their sound. There was a few bands that kind of fell into that category, but they appeared in Detroit more than once. Good band.
But that's another one where the age kind of throws me off. It's like, okay, Malcolm Young was 64 and the Smithereens in 74. Like, really? Were you guys that old?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is our
in memoriam. Rest in peace. And let's hope we don't lose so many next year.
Yep. And thanks for all the goodies.
Thank you. Yes.
This is the sound of.
The sound of.
The Sound Of's weekly top 7 list. Here are Ann Carlini and Steve Black's selections from 7 to 1.
All right, so our top 7 list. I couldn't decide if we should do, you know, our favorite song of 2017 or our favorite album, so I guess we're kind of doing both.
Yeah, let's just go back and forth, because I was really kind of surprised as to the lack of, you know, album releases this past year. You know, when I started to look stuff up, I went, oh, that was out in 16. Oh, that was out in 16.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize. I guess it's just because we're in radio and kind of we get to things late sometimes, or continue to play them for a long time.
Right. Well, when it comes to singles, I kind of went with several of the songs on my list that are singles did come out. Like the album came out in 16, but we didn't start playing it until 17. So I kind of went by release date of the single or the album.
Cheater.
So.
was banging my head against the wall last night.
which is why I have My Name is Human from Highly Suspect.
Which was 2016, Steve Black.
Yes it was. All right, I'll scratch that one off the list.
And here we go.
I'll replace it with song 3 from Stone Sour.
I have Stone Sour 2, Hydrograd.
Yeah.
Hydrograd.
Yeah.
I think it's really a good piece of work. And I really like that Corey Taylor isn't afraid to release and then re-release his songs acoustically live. It's like, that one sounded good last night. Let's put that one out there.
Yeah, sure.
He's really embraced, the fact that he can do a whole different show. It isn't just the album. He can release his concerts. He can release... small little radio station shows on the internet, and it's still his new material. It's just it's a great way to get it out to the fans.
And I had Hydrograd, by the way, on albums at number 4 for me, so we're on the same page there. Mm-hmm. So number 6 song for me is a track called Let 'Em Burn from Nothing More, which is just brutal. I love it. It's an attack.
I put Nothing More on my list too because you have just convinced me that this is a hot new band, and then the more I look into it, the more I see that you are not alone. But I really like that song, Go to War. I really like the production on that song.
Yep. By the way, I had Go to War at number 1.
Oh.
And their full album, The Stories We Tell Ourselves, at number 2.
Okay.
So apparently I do like that band. So it would seem. Mm-hmm. All right. Number 5 on my list of songs, I had Hurricane from Thrice, but under your new rule, that came out in 2016. So I'm going to go and grab...
I like Thrice too. It's 2016.
I'm going to instead grab Safari Song from Greta Van Fleet.
Greta Van Fleet is on my list, and they really don't even have an album.
It just came out.
Oh, did it finally come out?
Yeah, From the Fires came out last week.
Oh, I totally missed that.
It's a 6 song, what they call a double EP.
Oh, well, it's still an EP.
It's a double EP.
Kind of. Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, don't tell me I can't have that. That's my number 3 album of the year.
Okay. Well, Greta Van Fleet is on my list as well.
And so is Highway
EP,
Song.
LP, whatever it is, they're the hot new band to watch.
All right, so I'm at number 3 now. Glorious Sons, Everything Is All Right. I mentioned this song once before on the podcast. I finally talked my boss into going to see them live because they're amazing. So I can't wait for the rest of the world to catch up with this band. But I have that at song number 3.
All right, Glorious Sons.
Yeah.
And is that the name of the band or the song?
Yeah, the name of the band. Everything Is All Right is the name of the single.
Okay, I'm writing it down because I have not heard it. All right. Okay.
All right. So number 2 on my list of songs is Run from Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters' Concrete and Gold is a solid, solid album. And the more I hear Sky is a Neighborhood, the more I fall in love with it. Sometimes with Foo Fighters, I've got to hear it a few times. Because at first I thought, oh my God, Dave Grohl has sold out. This sounds like the beginning of an Imagine Dragons album song. Yeah, I think he has kind of wandered off in that direction somewhat. I can't blame him. It's 2017, even though you still think it's 2016, Steve. And I think that if Dave Grohl wants to take from the newer artists, then let him do that. He's a great songwriter. It's an awesome song.
Yep. I have no issue with the song. I just like Run better.
Run is incredible.
Yeah. I just really like it. And Concrete and Gold was number 1 on my list of albums.
Good.
So let's see. So my top 7 albums, we've already got 1, 2, 3, and 4, which were Nothing More, Foo Fighters, Greta Van Fleet, and Stone Sour. So 5 on my list, I guarantee, is not on yours. It's Season of the Witch from John 5. It's an all-instrumental record, so... I'm pretty sure that that's not on your list.
And you would be correct, sir.
Yeah. I had a feeling. And then I really liked Crooked Teeth from Papa Roach. I thought it's been very solid.
Yeah. I was happy to see them release another album. I don't think it sounds too much different from their other stuff. It didn't make my list, but I'm always happy to hear Papa Roach.
And the final one on my list was Emperor of the Sand from Mastodon.
Mastodon is a good band. And that came out in 2017?
Yes, early, okay. But yes.
All right. I would have to agree with you. I like what I'm hearing from Mastodon on that album. I'm really surprised that Metallica, Hardwired Self-Destruct, didn't land on your...
Came out in 2016.
It did not, did
December
it?
December of 2016.
Shoot. Okay. Yep. All right. I've broken
so
the
now
rule
who
too.
Thinks it's 2016?
What about Queens of the Stone Age, Villains?
I like it. I even wrote it a little further down on my list. But ever since he kicked that photographer in the face, I had a hard time listening to him. And the way he apologized, sort of, and I don't know. I just lost so much respect for Josh Homme that I haven't listened to the album since.
And when I wrote it down, I thought, what a shame, because now what's happening to a lot of these actors that have been accused of sexual harassment and more, you know, people don't want to watch their movies, their TV shows are being taken down, they're losing jobs, and kind of similar, Josh Homme is now kind of suffering the same thing. His Ellen appearance got canceled. He was supposed to do something for the BBC that got canceled. And Josh appears to be a little out of control, Steve.
Yes.
And I think...
I thought that watching the video of his apology, I felt exactly the same way. Like, this guy's not in total control of his faculties.
No. And I really hope that Josh gets some help. Because mm-hmm. Just my opinion, I'm not saying anything... is, you know, accusing him of anything, but I think that maybe he needs something. He needs some help, especially because he's a big family guy, you know, and his antics on stage do not appear to be rock starish.
No.
They seem to be like someone who is not in control.
Yeah.
Another band that made my list was Dorothy.
Really? Okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the band. I haven't heard the whole album. I don't, you know.
I have to confess, I've not heard but bits and pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything I hear, I like. And I did check to see if it came out in 2017. And it did.
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they going to tour with Toto? Dorothy and Toto?
Again.
Come on, that would be great.
No.
Sorry.
The Toto is still touring, by the way. So I think that she has that really cool female husky voice that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm anxious to see more from them. And I think that their album's going to do really well.
The sound of... This sound. That sound. And the sounds we can't even identify. You're listening to Ann Carlini and Steve Black's weekly podcast. The Sound Of.
All right, enough with all this 2017 stuff. It's got to be something we're looking forward to for 2018.
Onward. I was really shocked to see Maynard decide to do not one, but two nights at Rock on the Range in
that
Columbus,
is pretty cool.
Ohio. With A Perfect Circle and with Tool.
Yeah.
So I assume they're playing different nights.
Yes, although they haven't announced which bands are which night yet. That is the assumption.
Okay. Yeah, because Maynard just seemed to be down his rabbit hole of his vineyard and his wine. And, you know, there was so much ambiguity when it came to brand new Tool music. And now for him to launch not one but two... You know, bands and
yeah.
and brand new albums.
Although I did see both bands in 2016, which again was odd.
Yeah, but now they're saying that Tool new music is definitely coming.
Yeah, did you see the tweet from Tom Morello?
Oh, yeah, that he heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was invited in to hear it. And
yeah,
I think he used the word astonished.
Yeah.
Something like that. So it must be pretty interesting and clever.
Yeah, so I think that that's big news.
Yeah, definitely on my list of... I'm a pretty solid Tool fan, so I will definitely be looking forward to that album.
And then who else is on that bill? The headliners are Avenged Sevenfold.
Yep.
And Alice in Chains.
And Tool.
And Tool.
Yeah.
Hmm. So Avenged Sevenfold, brand new music out. They had a brand new album.
Yeah, so that album's out. I don't expect anything new from them. Alice in Chains has been working on stuff, and all that they have kind of posted is... you know, we'll turn it in when we're ready.
Yeah. I find it interesting, though, that now our headliners are bands that have been around for decades.
Yeah. Yeah, in many cases. I mean, the sub-headliners, Stone Temple Pilots, is, you know, they're on the second level and been around a long time.
They have a brand new lead singer from Detroit, Jeff Gutt.
Yep.
And some brand new music coming out.
And one of the other secondary bands is celebrating their 20th anniversary, I believe, a 20th anniversary of their first album. I don't think it's of their first becoming a band, but Godsmack.
Yeah, Godsmack is an awesome band to see live. They're one of my favorites live. So it just exactly what you hear on the album is what they're going to deliver on stage. Brilliant, brilliant show. So I'm happy to see that those guys are back out.
Couple of huge bands that have announced tours and actually already dates, but it looks like they may not be necessarily even focused on the U.S. One is Iron Maiden, and the other one, the Foo Fighters, have a number of U.S. dates, but not too many shows close to us. So I don't know. I fear that that means when they do play certain select cities that aren't on their schedule already, that it's going to be baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
Like, no, come to town and play small DTE.
I hate baseball stadiums.
I think that's what we're going to get if we get a show.
I hate to see rock concert at baseball stadiums, although I thought Metallica did a great job when they played at our stadium here in Detroit, Comerica Park. But then again, Metallica has millions of dollars to throw into their shows, and it was huge. Those video screens were, what, like 4, 5, 6 stories high.
You kind of have to do that, though, if you're going to play stadiums.
But a lot of them don't, though, Steve. That's the problem, is they get out there and they try to do a stage show, and they're like miniature people running around, and you end up looking at the video behind them, which isn't really big enough to handle the, you know, the stadium. There's just not a good seat in the house unless you're standing on the field.
Yep.
So, but, you know, last year we had GNR was still touring, the Metallica show. U2 went back on tour. Now, they may be...
They're continuing
on. McCartney. You know, it just seems like a lot of these bands, you know, the big names came through in 2017.
Right.
So now it's like, you know, you and I are sitting here racking our brains thinking, well, who's left for 2018 that we haven't seen already? And you said the Stones. They were thinking about going back out.
Yep.
I won't be there. Thank you. if the Stones played a small theater...
You'd be there.
Oh, my God. Yes.
They
with
do
bells
that.
On.
They do that every small, year, tiny... but they always do it in Los Angeles or New York or London. But they do it every time they tour. They always play a small... Last time it was Ford Theater, or not Ford, Fonda Theater in Los Angeles.
Okay, my idea of like... and I had this idea, please, years ago. I go, what? Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, they get the guitars. They get out on stage. They do some acoustic shows. They talk about their lives, kind of like an Unplugged. You know, I said, people would pay thousands of dollars to see that. And they are paying thousands of dollars to see Bruce Springsteen do that on Broadway.
Right.
And he just extended his stay on Broadway. You know, after doing 60 shows, now he's going to do like 180 or something. It's crazy because it's so wildly popular.
Yeah, and people are throwing money at him.
Yes, because as a fan, that is like hitting pay dirt when you get to see your favorite artist get up there. And not only, I mean, not that Bruce Springsteen doesn't do a lot of talking on stage. He does. But to sit down and have that one-on-one. I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, Keith and Mick don't like each other very much. But, you know.
and some of my favorite artists won't work in that setting. I don't want to see Iron Maiden on Broadway.
No.
Now, an evening with Acoustic Primus. What? No. Thank you.
You could put Eddie back sitting on a couch, his legs crossed, their massive monster mascot in the back. He could play the James Lipton part in Entertainment.
I love it.
And of course, you know, Ozzy, even though Black Sabbath has ended, they say.
Yeah, I think Ozzy is going to tour, but I think it's going to be limited. He's going to do mostly festival gigs.
Mm. Yeah, so. he'll be on stage until... Sharon says he can't anymore.
Right.
I think she calls the shots. So Yeah, I think that it's going to be kind of toned down.
Yeah.
In 2018 compared to the you know, the massive amounts of shows we saw in the past year.
I am looking forward to record-wise, and this should be out in the next month, is Wolfgang Van Halen. Mm. He's doing an album in which he plays every instrument.
Really?
You know, like Prince or, mm-hmm. you know, a Trent Reznor. Or, I mean, there's a handful of musicians who do that. But in theory, anyway, he's, you know, according to his father, who has maybe exaggerated once or twice before, but according to his father, he's as good a guitarist as Eddie. He's as good a drummer as Alex. He's a fantastic bass player. He can sing. He can play keyboards. It'll be interesting to see what he comes up with.
Yeah, that's those are big words coming from a legend like Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
But he's a proud papa.
Yeah. Yep, I have to remind people that the one time I interviewed him was right after the Van Halen 3 album came out, and he did, in fact, say that that was his favorite Van Halen album. So, you know, grain of salt? No, not a grain. A truckload of salt. But he just finished the album. He had to say something nice, yeah. I suppose. But
yeah.
By the way, I understand Wolfgang, when he tours, obviously he can't play all the instruments himself when he tours, so... He put together a band, and he's calling the band Mammoth, which was the original name of Van Halen before they changed their name. How cool is that?
Wow. Wow, I wonder how the guys feel about that. The guys who are not Van Halen.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Not in the family.
Yep. Mm. Well, they were originally called the Broken Combs, like before David Lee Roth. And then when David Lee Roth got there, they went with Mammoth and then eventually changed to Van Halen. So. I think that's kind of neat for, you know, for Wolfie to go out and take the old Mammoth name. That's a pretty cool thing.
So Van Halen's done, right? We're not going to see them tour again.
I really think it'll happen. I just think it needs more time, just like Guns N' Roses needed time.
But you're talking about the David Lee Roth version of Van Halen, correct?
No, I'm talking about what Sammy wants with both of them.
Well, that would be as big as the GNR tour.
Yeah. And I think it's the only way that people are going to care at this point, because we've seen the reunited with David Lee. We've seen the reunited with Sammy. We've seen every Van Halen that there is to see, except both of them, full band, everybody, every song. That's what we haven't seen.
With or without Michael Anthony?
Oh, with. But probably not on every song. Probably when Sammy plays, Michael plays. That's my guess. Mm.
Well, I hope so. I'd like
to
see it.
I don't think it'll happen this year, but if I had to put odds on it, I think there's a better than 50% chance that happens at some point.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I'd like to see it for sure. I'm just not confident it's going to happen. There's some massive egos.
Yeah.
And, Sammy still has his voice.
He does.
You know, David does not.
Does not.
Just saying.
Here's Sammy playing live and David voice tracking two tapes. That'll go over well. And I still want to put together my all-female supergroup, because it's never been done. Get, you know, Lizzie Hale and the bass player from the Sick Puppies and, you know, maybe the drummer from Pop Evil, Orianthe. Mm-hmm. I mean, just put together this kick-ass band of females and just let them tear heads. That would be awesome.
And there's Steve's 2018 fantasy.
I never really wanted to be a tour manager, but sure. Yeah, I'll go on the road with you guys.
Yeah, well, let's see. Let's see what Gina thinks about that.
The sound of.